always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The world woke up to the news.
Israel launched Operation Rising Lion.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reporting around 200 Israeli warplanes had attacked Iran's nuclear program and killed several Iranian generals. Tehran confirms the head of the Revolutionary Guard's missile program was among them. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Israeli officials say the Mossad spy agency infiltrated Iran before the attack. It is said to have smuggled in drones and other precision weapons that were used to target defense systems and missile launchers.
Iran's supreme leader is promising severe punishment for the attack, and we've heard from President Trump today. CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The president's tweet just this morning suggests the Iranian regime can only save itself by making a deal. So he's making this sound like this is not just about setting back their nuclear program.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay.
It's been a long journey from the old Swamp Inn to the rotunda of the state capitol.
Chief Justice Ann Walsh Bradley has spent 30 years on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Bradley was the first woman elected to the state's top court without having first been appointed. She's the third woman on the court total, after Shirley Abrahamson and Jeanine Geske. Bradley and her colleagues reflected on her path to power at a ceremony at the Capitol on Thursday. There, they traced her roots in Richland Center to her time spent as a teacher to a legal profession that wasn't always welcoming to women.
She told us early on how she envisioned her role as a judge, and I'm quoting her, "Because the experiences of a woman are different, I will be bringing that socialization process with me, much like other judges who are hunters or fishers bring their experiences with them."
Her longtime friend, Christine Bremer Mowgli. Over her long career, Bradley's participated in roughly 28,000 cases. She's heard thousands of oral arguments and authored roughly 600 opinions. But on Thursday, her focus wasn't on the past. It was on a warning about the rule of law.
The independence of the judiciary is not a partisan value. It is a constitutional imperative. We must make sure that those who speak thoughtfully about the role of courts and the rule of law are not silent.
Chief Justice Bradley's final day in the court is July 31st. Newly elected Susan Crawford will take the seat after her.
Civic Media News Director Shali Pittman reporting on location. And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Redbirds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Cardinals tonight. The Crew with a 6-0 shutout of the Cards last night, thanks to Jacob Mizorowski in his first major league start. One of his fastballs measured at 102 miles per hour. Meanwhile, Aaron Civale upset he's being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen and says he wants to be traded.
There's no ill will towards anybody in the city. It's been a great home to me and my wife for the past year. I know there's probably going to be some animosity towards this type of thing. There's a negative connotation when this type of thing comes around, but just trying to do what's best.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy responded.
I mean, we deal with players being unhappy all the time, and that's their right to do, and Aaron's got a great history, and he's performed well for this organization, and now it's time for him to go behave.
In college football, the Wisconsin Badgers fined by the NCAA for some recruitment violations, making calls to prospective players before the start date 2 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Scattered storms tonight with a low in the upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, his new column suggests Governor Evers should not run for another term. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, Friday the 13th of June, 2025. And coming up, of course, on Fridays, it'll be our Week in Review panel with Chicago journalists Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. By the way, I neglected to mention last hour, folks would normally hear Courier Newsroom's Kiev Akil. He's on vacation this week, which is why we played back some of our interview with Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein about the state budget. But I think we have Kia back next week. I forget how long his vacation goes here. But we will have our regular Week in Review panel here. And then 1 hour from now, we will be interviewing Chris Taylor, Judge Chris Taylor, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, potential candidate to go up against far-right Justice Rebecca Bradley in next year's state Supreme Court race in April. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for that. And then just after 8:30, Mike Clemens will be here. A lot of weekend sports to go over, including the big debut last night for a Brewers pitching phenom who was pitching lights out until he rolled his ankle. So we'll have an update on that coming up as well. So much still ahead, including the weekend forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And as I'm looking at the river of rain on the radar here, Brittany, it stretches from roughly Duluth to La Crosse. It's that wide and yep. Stretches way back into the mountains pretty much. I mean, it's just this river of rain that's going to pour right over Wisconsin for a while.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, we've already picked up a half an inch to an inch and a half to places far west already. And this is just the start of it. So we've got another half an inch to an inch to go today, maybe another half an inch still tomorrow as well. And then we could still see some a little bit linger. And we've got rain, honestly, as we go into the entire next week too. So a very, very active, unsettled pattern. And of course, cloudy skies for a majority of the state. There is spots of sunshine far south along the state line, Madison, Milwaukee area. You could see that as well. So you have chances to stay dry, more sunshine south. That rain is going to continue to pour up north as we go through our day today, becoming moderate to heavy at times. A few rumbles of thunder are also possible as well. And then by this afternoon, a few scattered storms could pop up in the southern areas. Now, it's a smaller chance, but there is that chance. So heads up for that. Otherwise, you're staying dry. Highs today will make it only to the mid-50s where it's raining, mid-70s far south. And as we go to tomorrow morning, spotty rain lingers far northeast. We are looking at some more showers and storms sparking up far northwest in the afternoon and then rolling through the state through the evening. Highs tomorrow will be about 60 degrees up north, 80 degrees down south. So if you're looking for the summer weather and some sunshine, southern parts is where it's at. But everyone is going to be dry on Sunday. Highs in the 70s statewide. But I'll tell you what, heads up, Monday, get that AC ready. It's going to start to get pretty hot and humid with some stronger to severe storms possible. This week, nothing to worry about.
This is more of a nuisance, and then the hot and humid comes back. But for now, nothing like that rain with a stiff east wind slapping it right in your face there.
Oh, I know. But you know what? That east wind yesterday, I think it cut off a lot of the rainfall for a lot of the state for a while. So it actually helped a little bit. But now, here it is.
All right. By the way, your Scotty Summer Text to Win keyword is coming up in just a moment or two here. First, to pass along on YouTube, Cassandra talking about in our last segment, my husband still sews because his mom taught him. He made an anatomically correct heart for me to take to work. That's very sweet.
I would like to know your profession.
What's that?
I would like to know your profession, Cassandra, because a correct heart.
Anatomically correct heart. It could be fun, you know? So anyway, yes, men should learn to sew too. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. Light rain, windy, 48 degrees, 0.4 inch of rain. Mowed 2 yards in the town of Germania. They were big yards. I had a Big Mac salad at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. It was very good. He says, when the Breakfast Club came out in 1984, I was a junior in high school. Remember seeing that movie in Wausau. Definitely jacket type of weather. A northeast wind makes it feel a lot colder. And then concludes by saying, maybe next week you play that Supertramp song, It's Raining Again, for the next week.
But, yes, that's perfect, Rob.
Yes. Oh, and Cassandra is an ICU nurse.
Okay. This is an acceptable thing, though. Okay.
It totally tracks. Yes, exactly. All right, Brittany, thanks. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
Let's get that Scotty Summer Text to Win contest all done. Final day of it today. Statewide contest on nearly every Civic Media station. We're 4 times a day. You can win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. There's a Wisconsin Dells Baraboo area getaway and one in Door County as well. Some gas money to get you there. Each time throughout the day, including 3 more times after this before the contest ends, different keywords, text them to us through the Civic Media app. Go to the app, go to one of the stations, use the text button, text us this hour's keyword. And this hour's keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword is water. Again, water, W-A-T-E-R, water is the keyword for a pair of Brewers tickets. You have until the end of this hour to text that in, and then you will be eligible for this hour's prize of the Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings as well. And only 3 more chances to play, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for a pair of Brewers tickets, the keyword to text in is water, W-A-T-E-R. I love that we're giving away the Brewers tickets. These are such good seats, and I'm pretty sure that once the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is done, we will be going back to where we do some free ticket Fridays for Brewers games. So you'll want to be listening on Fridays throughout the summer here as we try to get you in the seats there at American Family Field. A lot of folks were there last night to see the debut of the Brewers' top pitching prospect, Jacob Mizorowski, 23 years old, making his major league debut last night against the St. Louis Cardinals. And I thought it was pretty cool that he set him down 1-2-3 in the first inning. Second inning, he faced 3 batters, but he needed a double play because he had a walk. And then there were still no hits after 3 innings, no hits after 4 innings. I'm like, this guy's just pitched his first 4 innings of Major League Baseball, no hits. 5 innings, still no hits. At that point, at the place where I'm sitting and kind of looking at the game on my phone, I'm like, guys, this kid has a no-hitter going through 5. Comes out for the 6th inning. I mean, this kid's throwing 100 miles, 101, 102 miles an hour. 102 miles an hour. Comes in, throws a few on the 6th inning, rolls his ankle, says he's feeling cramping in his right leg, and leaves the game with a no-hitter into the 6th inning. Apparently not serious. We will talk to Mike Clemens about that coming up next hour as the Brewers continue their series with the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, the Brewers did win. They brought the bats out. 6-0 was the final. A nice home run by Jackson Churio among the scoring. The series continues against the Cardinals in Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 6:35 on several Civic Media stations, Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward. So again, tune in on the radio. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. For folks that are following the Stanley Cup Finals and who have to go to bed early, like me, thinking that Florida was going to win another one, they were up 3-0 after the first period. Edmonton came all the way back, even took the lead. Then Florida tied it up with 20 seconds left in regulation, so they went to overtime, and Edmonton was your winner, 5-4 in overtime. The Stanley Cup Finals are tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tomorrow in Edmonton. The NBA Finals tip off tonight, Game 4 in Indiana, where Indiana has a 2-1 lead over Oklahoma City. And then we've got the WIAA Girls Softball Championships in play in Madison right now. We've got Packers mini camp to talk about with Mike Clemens as well. Jordan Love getting married. Aaron Rodgers getting married. There's just so much to cover here. Oh, and a Brewers pitcher once is demanding a trade as well. So we got a lot to talk about here with Mike when we meet up with him after our interview with Chris Taylor and Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us as well. If you missed it, also in the last hour, we basically gave you an update on the legislature and trying to craft a state budget. We mentioned at the start of the week that Republicans basically walked away from the negotiating table. Governor Evers was willing to meet them when it came to a tax cut plan. They were not willing to meet him in doing the things a state budget is supposed to do, like support our schools. And so you saw that reflected in what the Joint Finance Committee did yesterday, where they worked on their tax cut plan and they worked on a special education spending plan that does increase the state's reimbursement for special education to public schools, but not nearly to the level that would be needed to end what is an endless string of school referendums going on around the state. Republicans are looking at the dollar amount and saying, look, we voted to increase special education funding by more than $200 million. Governor Evers was saying, yeah, it actually, you need to add another $900 million more to make schools whole and to end this endless cycle of referendums. But set aside the dollar amounts for a moment and just look at the reimbursement rate at which, you know, the state will help school districts for that larger price tag that comes with special education. Back in 1980, I learned from Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in 1980, the state reimbursed 2/3 of the cost of special education, 66%. It had come down to about 30%. And then it came up in the last budget to 32%. And Governor Evers said, look, can we at least get back to 60%? Let's get to 60%, help out with special education costs, especially since Republicans reimburse voucher schools at 90%. 90% reimbursement for special education for voucher schools. The governor said, could we at least get to 60%? Because we're at 32 right now. Republicans were like those guys in the pawn shop show going, best we can do is 37.5. So that's what they voted on, 37.5, which enables them to say, look at the millions and millions of dollars we put into it, without acknowledging their hundreds of millions of dollars short. And so you, dear property taxpayer, will continue making up the difference, even as Republican legislators sit on a state surplus of $4 billion. Now, Republicans did work on their tax cut plan as well. And according to Jesse O'Poyne's story in the Journal Sentinel, it means about 1.5 million Wisconsinites will pay lower income taxes. The Republicans are allocating about $1.3 billion to it. It does expand the state's second lowest tax bracket. So it does not seem like an unreasonable tax cut plan. But again, the real story is the governor said, yeah, this isn't what I'd write, but I can go along with this. Now, how about you guys help out our schools that you've been underfunding for 16 years? And Republicans said, no, it's something, it's a shortfall they would just as soon perpetuate. And that's what we have happening right now. All right, still ahead, we'll be talking with our Week in Review panel, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze, later Judge Chris Taylor, running for Supreme Court, Kristen Lierley, Mike Clemens, all from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. Big thank you to them. We are here with some of our favorite people, our UW Extension are some of our favorite people. One of our favorite people is Kayla. Kayla Rombalski is with us right now. Always enjoy talking with you. How you been, Kayla?
I've been well, busier than ever, but that's not a bad thing. Thank you for having me on, James.
Before we dive into some of the topics we wanted to get into, I almost forgot to mention this in our pregame. I signed up for your newsletter today. Could not have been simpler.
Awesome.
Could not have been simpler. It literally took me 3 or 5 seconds, like somewhere in between there. And I actually took a second there and paused. It was like, whoa, that it? Like, that's really nice. It's very cool. And it's a great resource, not only for the things that you guys are doing over at Extension, but just our state and the way you guys cover the state so well.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go to extension.wisc.edu, sign up for that newsletter. Again, it'll take you 3 seconds. And then just figure out what you're going to do with the next minute because it didn't take very long. And it's a great resource. Encourage you to sign up for it, everybody. Speaking of great resources, Kayla, you guys just wrapped up one event of ours, one part of our clean sweep event.
We did. Yeah, that was a great segue, James.
Thank you.
So a couple of weekends ago up in Marshfield at the Agricultural Research Station off of Yellowstone Drive, we hosted a clean sweep collection. So for those listeners that may not be familiar with this program, it's sponsored by DATCAP. At the state level, And it is a household hazardous waste disposal program, as well as agricultural waste disposal. So as you're cleaning out, you know, pole sheds, barns, places on your property, and you come across old oil-based paint, maybe old gasoline, you're not sure how old it is, you don't know what to do with it, Clean Sweep is your place. We will gladly take those items at Clean Sweep, any pesticides, any agricultural chemicals. We take that at Clean Sweep. It is free of charge for Wood County residents, and we'll let the professionals dispose of that stuff safely so that it doesn't end up in our waterways and doesn't pose more harm to the environment. So it's a great program, and we just wrapped it up in Marshfield. And I have to tell you, James, as I was preparing for this program, typically it's busy. It's from 8 to noon. It's usually busy right at 8. There's a bit of a line, and then it kind of tapers off. There's sure. not as many people coming.
Yeah.
So it was myself and two of my extension colleagues that were scheduled to work that day. And we, in preparation, I said, you know, I'll bring some chairs. I'll bring a table. I'll bring some cards. We can play some games in our downtime. Maybe bring a book if you want. I prepared them, and they had never worked this event before. I prepared them for, you know, a bit of a rush in the morning and then some downtime. We never sat down. Marshfield showed up in a big way for this event, and Rapids as well. I mean, we had a fair number of folks that drove up from Rapids. We served more than 210 vehicles or households in 4 hours. There was a steady line that never died down, and that is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more people than I've ever seen show up for this event, and so it was so so good to see that turnout and to see people also being patient. I mean, everyone was super nice and kind, and they were waiting in line for a long time, but they were patient and they were laughing with us, and it was just a really great community event.
Warms the heart. It's really encouraging to hear. I know how much this subject means to me. I can only imagine how much it must mean for you and so many of your colleagues and people that are really on the forefront of you know, trying to get this information out there, trying to help our water, our earth, you know, just be healthier. And our community disposing of these things properly. On the other side of this, too, it also shows the need for this and how much this is needed and how important it is that we do have these events, which is also, I think, noteworthy about it. And just where we are now, where I think most people, I don't like to say this as good or bad, but for lack of a better way to put it, that most people want to do the right thing, want to do the good thing with this stuff. It's oftentimes uncertainty, or maybe, well, this is what my dad did or my grandpa did or whatever and stuff. And it's important to also the information part of this and being able to share with people like, hey, I call up and I don't know what this thing is. Can I get rid of it there? And you find out if you can or you can't.
Right.
Or where the proper place to put that is. So while that 200, that number is beautiful, that's awesome to hear. I also think about all the people throughout the year that you guys help with information like that.
Yeah. And we take those phone calls pretty seriously. Sometimes it causes us to have to do a little bit of digging, and sometimes we end up with conflicting answers, but we really try hard to get back to the caller with the information about where they can take things.
From community members to politicians to people at Extension, we've got a lot of people trying to work on that forefront of making our state healthier, our state cleaner, our ag better, because this also helps our farmers and adds to our farmers. Then the work that they're doing on this front is noteworthy as well.
Yes.
So just a big thank you to everybody on this one, because we're all tired of hearing about PFAS. We're all tired of hearing about that stuff. You really want to get rid of them, this is one of the ways to do it. You're tired.
Exactly.
If you're tired of the conversation, start
here you
doing
go.
It.
Right.
And I give my mother credit on this one, because if I was tired about my room being a mess, well, Jimmy, clean it.
Right.
This is basically what we're talking about here.
Yeah. I just a quick story and aside. I laugh frequently. One of my first memories of UWSP, so I moved to Stevens Point. That's what brought me to Central Wisconsin. Now I'm here in Rapids. But I moved to Stevens Point for UWSP, and I lived in Knutson, which is historically like the, you know, the natural resources dorm.
Yeah.
And here I am, college freshman, you know, nervous as all get out. And I accidentally put a can, soda can, in the wrong slot in the recycling center on the third floor or whatever of the residence hall. And I remember there was like a much older, kind of a big burly outdoorsman who was in the hallway and saw me do it and said, "That's not where that goes." And I will just never forget that. Like, I think Central Wisconsin is really has that, that pride of recycling and being environmentally friendly really embedded in it. And
to that point, the popularity and in need of Clean Sweep, we're going to be having one here in Rapids in September.
Yes, absolutely. So on September 13th, it's a Saturday at the Town of Saratoga Town Hall right there off of 73. You can come out from 8 to noon and bring any of those unwanted chemicals with you.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Yes, consumers are paying more for beef at the grocery store, but it has not changed their consumption patterns. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. I talked about it with Dr. Glenn Tonsor. Tonsor is a professor in agriculture economics at Kansas State University. He also coordinates the monthly Meat Demand Monitor Survey. Tonsor says the latest survey shows that consumers are anxious about international trade relationships and the potential for unemployment, but they still keep buying beef.
I'll just call it the meat protein is in, right? So this broad desire to have meat protein in your diet. More and more people are telling us they self-declare as a meat consumer. The rate of vegan vegetarianism is actually declining per the MDM. So to put a bow on that is those are trends that are going, they're conflicting. So far, we are seeing retail demand strength hold up. So grocery store for at home, which is consistent with the grilling, as you said. But we're seeing notable weakness in food service, so away from home consumption. And that fits the macroeconomic concern we're talking about here.
Dr. Glenn Tonsor, ag economist at Kansas State University, talking about the latest monthly meat demand monitor. You can take a deeper dive on that consumer information. Go to agmanager.info. That's agmanager.info.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And the last member of the Wisconsin State FFA officer team was announced yesterday. Amala Draxler from Glenwood City has been named the Wisconsin Association of FFA president for 2025-2026. Her parents are Mike and Rebecca Draxler, her advisor, Kirsten Condor. If you'd like to follow up on all the FFA activities from this week's state convention, check it out, MidwestFarmReport.com, Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. That's Food News on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Scattered storms tonight with a low in the upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actress Stephanie Gurno, comedian Steve Hofstetter, and it's a bar band Friday night, so I'm joined by Max Inc. host Rocker, who is filling in for Terry Barr. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Did you know you can pod this program? Absolutely. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. And that way you can listen to us on demand, listen back to previous shows as well. We'd love to have you along as a subscriber. All right, let's bring in that Friday panel, Chicago veteran journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, or to be more specific about it, you can get Mark's newsletter at stopthepresses.news. You can also follow him at couriernewsroom.com. Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. Search for @newsjennifer. And, of course, Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel can be heard on Saturday mornings starting at 9 on several civic media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Needless to say, the big story this week has been Trump politicizing and militarizing protests against his mass deportation, which, again, took a turn that, while some people say it was expected, that, you know, you're trolling Home Depot parking lots and things like that. This was also the guy that said, well, I just want to go after the bad guys. I want to get after the criminals and the thugs. Clearly, that's not what's been happening here, Mark. And so it was surprising slash amusing to see Trump post on his little social media site yesterday that he's aware that this mass deportation thing is starting to hurt farmers. And so he's going to make some changes. Is he? And does he really understand? Or was that just a bone to throw out and go, you know, I was never just going to go after the bad guys?
Well, I think that that's just a bone to throw out. I think he's just saying that to, you know, to try to keep his base in his base, you know, because I think that his base is eroding. His poll numbers are bad. And I mean, he's making a mess out of everything. And I don't think, I mean, clearly all these consequences of this immigration enforcement were easily predictable. I mean, come on. I mean, if you got a lot of immigrants picking, you know, farm products, you know, picking crops, and they go away and you scare the hell out of them and chase them out of the country. Well, what's going to happen? You know, how's that going to affect our dinner table? You know, a lot. And so everyone knows that. And so for him to act like, you know, he just woke up a day or two ago and realized that it's going to affect the farm industry is crazy. You know, I just think that I don't think Trump is a member of government. I don't think what I'm saying is I don't think that he's trying to govern. I think he's trying to be political, and I think he's trying to exploit government for his business, but he's not trying to implement policies that help people in any way whatsoever. It's all a matter of him trying to increase his own personal money and power any way he can.
Yes, there's a difference between those who want to govern and those who want to rule. And
right.
Jennifer, again, it's important to make that distinction that we're having the one discussion about mass deportations and how they're being handled versus the protests against that and how the Trump administration is covering them, and, you know, whether media is covering them as a protest or as a riot. It certainly is apparent that the Trump administration still wants to go full steam ahead, to the point where at a news conference for Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday, a U.S. senator from California wanted to talk to the secretary and was tackled and handcuffed and dragged away despite identifying himself. And while Kristi Noem essentially wasn't really telling the truth, I would argue, about the circumstances behind it, I don't think anybody should hold their breath expecting an apology and that things like this won't happen again.
Well, she met with Padilla after the incident, and I was just reading an interview that he gave about that meeting where he said she didn't apologize. That's not going to happen. I do think that in a normal world, somebody who was leading a press conference and is in a leadership role in the United States government would have said, hey, what's going on over there? You know, and she kept talking. She did not stop. And just so everybody's clear, she knows who Alex Padilla is. He is the chair of the subcommittee, or the ranking member of the subcommittee on immigration in the United States Senate. That is the committee that deals with many of Kristi Noem's issues. She knows who he is. They've met before. When her team says he was engaging in political theater, I would argue they were engaging in political theater by pretending, oh my God, there's gambling going on here. They were, shocked that who is that? They knew who he was. She didn't try to stop it. And even as he kept saying who he was, if you watch that video, it's brutal.
And if it can happen to a United States senator from California, Jim, looking at this as an attorney and that people have, First Amendment rights, but if they can do this to a senator, again, you have an increasing amount of law enforcement officials that honestly, I think have a personal fork in the road they've got to come to as far as whether they're there to uphold the law or if they are crossing the line into territory that I didn't think we'd see in this country with hidden police and acting in extra legal means.
Pat, that's one of the principal things that comes to my mind whenever I see, again, the Padilla incident, but beyond that, so many other things where you've got these masked, apparently federal officers and others who are out there executing their orders, doing what they're being told. But I do wonder, again, having worked with law enforcement, state, local, and especially federal law enforcement for the better part of 30 years, these are people who've taken an oath to defend not a president, not a governor, no one particular person, but the Constitution and basic principles about how these things are to work. You have to wonder if an awful lot of them, and we'll get another big test of that this coming weekend, if in fact there is additional involvement of law enforcement stopping these protests, you have to wonder if they themselves, as they're going to work in the morning, engaging in these arrests, whether it's tackling Padilla or doing other things out there, if they are wondering inside their own cognitive analysis, what am I doing here? And it really is contrary to the basic concepts of law enforcement. Once again, to arrest somebody, to place them in custody, just a little bit of civics here again, you got a probable cause to believe that they're violating the law, that there has been some law that has been obstructed here. And again, free speech, as the judge in California just said a day or so ago, it's very strong. And all those things have got to be analysis going on inside the heads of all these law enforcement officers wondering what they're doing.
But yet some of those law enforcement officers, Mark, are targeting the journalists themselves. I mean, firing rubber bullets at reporters and camera crews, which I don't think is accidental. I think that there's a degree of state-sanctioned intimidation going on here.
Well, if you see that video of the Australian reporter and the people behind her, the law enforcement officials behind her, people behind her, shoot, that rubber bullet they shot at her, clearly there were no protesters in the area. She was doing a stand up and they're behind her and they fire at her. And it's just shocking. And I think that's one of the things that's when I think most dangerous about Trump is that he's he has clearly made the news media the enemy, and he's made the facts the enemy. And so he is, and he's trying to get his people in law enforcement to see it the same way. And to, he doesn't want us to cover this kind of stuff. He wants the cruelty toward immigrants to happen without anyone paying any attention to it or cheering it on. He does not want the facts to be out there.
No, and again, that strongman thing is intentional to try to win some kind of a PR war, if you will. Jennifer, it is very easy. We've talked about AI images, social media algorithms. How did one reporter call it? Catnip for right-wing agitators, all the misinformation that's out there. Should we wring our hands about it here, or can we talk about whether there's any way around it?
I think one of many things we've learned through the Trump years is that all of us, particularly media, but everybody, need to be really careful about what images we collect and we share. And I would say with news media, again, I watched Fox, it almost killed me. And they're so selective about the pieces of video, images from LA that they take to feed their version of things. So there's a scene, if something's on fire, it doesn't matter if that one little thing is on fire over here and nothing else is happening anywhere near it, which is the case in LA. I've seen the map of where the protests are. It's like a teeny little couple blocks, and LA is huge. LA is not on fire, but Fox takes that one little clip of video of something burning, like the Waymo cars, and gives you the impression, the way they treat it and how frequently they share it, that the whole city's on fire. Media collecting those images, I mean, we can't do anything about Fox. They are state media. But everybody else really needs to kind of take a beat on it. It might look really cool on television to have a little clip of fire, but if you're going to use that, you need to tell people the context and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
Right. Another headline in Press Watchers says, how many people were arrested is a lousy way to cover protests. That is not the barometer you should be using. And Jennifer, you point to two different headlines. One says, U.S. Marines deployed to Los Angeles to help quell anti-ICE riots, whereas the other headline says, L.A. protests. Trump sends thousands more troops in authoritarian move. Same thing, two different ways of looking at it, folks.
Reporting on exactly the same story.
Right, yep. From an accountability standpoint, Jim, when we talk about the law enforcement officers, and I don't want to overreact here, but I also don't want to downplay this, that at some point this is all going to pass. To what degree should some of these law enforcement officers understand that there may, I would hope, will be accountability for abuses once this is all over and other people are in charge?
United States Supreme Court has said just that, Pat. We know that there is constitutional exposure if, in fact, even under assignments, even under direction, you as a law enforcement officer, and that applies very, very broadly, you do something that violates someone else's constitutional rights. You bust down a door without a warrant, without consent. You arrest somebody without probable cause. You engage in a search of an automobile, again, without probable cause to believe that there is something in that automobile. It leads to a scintilla of evidence of a crime. You do those things, you're violating the Constitution, and you've also identified what is in the law regarded as victims of your conduct. It's called Bivens actions. It's after a Supreme Court case that says you can, in fact, file a lawsuit. Frankly, on behalf of the government, I was involved in a lot of those lawsuits, wrestling with what the parameters of that are. And there is that exposure. And it's, frankly, it can't even be monetary exposure. You can plainly get damages against the government for doing these kinds of things. And again, you look back at this Bivens case in particular, as I often do, commend reading it, because it talks about the fundamental right of law enforcement, yes, to do what it is doing to ensure safety and security, but also the right of the people not to have their basic fundamental rights of theirs trampled on by government.
For some of you, a local update is next. For others, we'll continue the conversation here, including ABC firing somebody. The headline from a Mark Jacob video, "When telling the truth is a fireable offense." You can catch Jim Santel on Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings at 9, Mark Jacob's newsletter at stopthepresses.news, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter on Substack. Search for News Jennifer. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit crockettseptic.com.
Now at Verizon, we have some big news for your peace of mind, for all our customers, existing and new. We're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan and my home. That's future you peace of mind. And everyone can save on a brand new phone on my plan when you trade in any phone from one of our top brands. That's new phone peace of mind. Because at Verizon, whether you're already a customer or you're just joining us, we got you. Visit Verizon today. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Kayla, I know we wanted to spend some time talking about the Connecting Entrepreneurs Communities Conference that's coming up. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so this conference has been a big part of my work life the past couple of months. It's kind of funny, like any large event, you know, it's like planning for a wedding. It'll be here before we know it, and then it'll all be over. but next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, we are expecting 200 people from across the state, more than 200. I think we're at like 215 for registration, to host a statewide conference that's really focused on enhancing rural communities and the services that they provide to small business owners and entrepreneurs in their communities. So super excited about this. We have 16 breakout sessions across four different time tracks. So there's really something for everyone to choose from. And it's just going to be a great time. I'm so excited. Yeah.
I wanted to, because I can feel the passion for me. I just can tell how much you're enjoying this. I wanted to let you just have the lane and go and everything. When it comes to some of the people out there listening that maybe are just hearing about this and everything, especially to anybody out there that has thought about getting into the business world or getting taking an idea and running with it, any of the ways I could word this, are they still able to be a part of this? Are they still able to reach out?
They are. So registration is still open. It will be open right up, I think, until day of. So you can go to the Extension website that you mentioned earlier. You'll find it there. Search for Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities Conference, or CEC. And this is a great opportunity for entrepreneurs, for municipalities and local government officials. If you have a role in your town's planning and zoning department, or if you are on town government, this is a great way to learn more about how you can support entrepreneurs. And you may think, you know, a lot of smaller communities think, oh, well, we don't have any entrepreneurs or startup organizations. And I would encourage you to think otherwise. Think about the number of small businesses that started in someone's garage or in their basement and are now really, really successful businesses. There's a business in Pittsville that sells in the top 0.1% of all Etsy businesses.
Whoa.
And they're right here in central Wisconsin. So think about those folks and how you're engaging them. They're out there. And if you think they're not, you're overlooking a really interesting population that you could be serving.
Well, we're in a state of innovators. We're in a state of creatives. Wisconsin has a wonderful history of adding to the world and different business parts of the world and everything. I think that when it comes to this, we've seen the migration has already happened. It happened during and after the pandemic of people being tired of a job and wanting a career, or tired of a job or a career and being like, you know, I don't mind making a buck or two less, and I'm going to open an Etsy shop. I'm going to do something along these lines. The opportunities for businesses and for people, whether we're talking about that or farmers markets or anything else, to sell goods, to sell an idea, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
There's never been more opportunities for people to be able to do this. I think you can make a strong argument. There's never been a time in human history it's better to start a business. It's better to really lunch off and do something. It's also noteworthy, I think, and important to mention that, you know, for every business that succeeds, there's ones that don't. The ones that don't, and talking to people and just knowing a bit about this world, I don't know as much as most, but I know a bit about it. It's oftentimes the people that go into it and they have a great idea, but they don't have all the information they need. They don't have their ducks in a row.
Yep.
They don't know certain things about it. I'm a pretty creative guy. I got quite an imagination. I need Seth and Melissa and this crew around here to help me put this stuff
Yes.
Nobody wants me running this station by myself. Nobody wants that. Be at the top of that list. It's important to be able to pull information from people, to be able to share information.
Absolutely.
A conference like this is perfect opportunity for that.
Yes. That's the beauty of this conference, really, is that there are so many different sessions that are focused on a lot of different areas. So if you are someone who loves your business and you make, I don't know, let's say you make widgets and that's your thing, right? Like you're really focused on the production of those. But maybe in order to go to that next level as an entrepreneur, you need more financing. You don't know quite where to go. You don't know how to go about that financing piece. There's a session on small business financing, on entrepreneurial financing. And if you're a support system, so again, I mentioned those municipalities earlier, if you're an organization that serves entrepreneurs, that financing conversation could be helpful just to know about what resources are out there. Oftentimes with conferences, it's not necessarily the sessions themselves, though we have great sessions. It's the people that you meet when you're there. And in addition to those 16 breakout sessions, we have a lot of opportunity for you and for conference attendees to be able to network, to really get to experience Wisconsin Rapids, which is something we're really excited about, to be able to feature this great community that we have here. And then also just to have fun. So yeah. We're doing things like a rafters game for
that.
Everyone.
Yeah,
yes,
cool.
Yes, it'll be awesome. We're going out to Rooted in Red, so you'll have the opportunity to tour a fifth generation women-owned cranberry marsh.
Great, and great the people event, over there.
Yes, absolutely. The event space that they've created. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it looks like, according to the weather, which could change five times between now and Tuesday, that it's supposed to rain most of the Tuesday, Wednesday. But we bought umbrellas for everyone, so that'll be a conference giveaway. Yeah, we were thinking ahead. And it's supposed to be nice and hot.
Yeah.
That'll work well. Rain and warm weather.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. I love the umbrella idea. That was really good. That's a really good idea. Yeah. That's fun. Can you, and we don't certainly have to go through every detail if you want, but do you want to go a little bit more focused on some of these sessions and some of these things that are going to be available for people?
Absolutely. So it kicks off on Monday evening, like I said, with a rafters game. We've actually reserved the Point Craft River for everyone.
That's cool.
So it'll be a really great time. And again, one of those awesome opportunities to just network and talk back and forth with other like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday morning...
Do you want to shout out Centergy for sponsoring
thank
that.
You. Really-
you were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Reports. Iran's supreme leader is vowing Israel will pay heavily after its warplanes hit more than 100 military sites inside Iran, as well as the nation's nuclear program. Prime Minister Netanyahu.
The Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime.
CBS's Robert Berger from Jerusalem.
This is not a one-off kind of a strike. This is going to come in waves with Israel attacking Iran. And certainly Iran is going to be launching ballistic missiles and drones toward Israel.
Israel says it notified the White House before the attack. Correspondent Margaret Brennan.
So far, it appears Israel's air defenses, thanks in part to American-provided equipment, they're able to repel any retaliation, responding to what Israel did overnight.
President Trump says, quote, Iran must make a deal before there's nothing left. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.